encouraging, you know, because God, I know that's what we need. We live in a time where that we need to have some encouragement sometime, you know, along the ways of life. And sometimes we worship in some, but I just want to kind of bring something that would kind of bring us to a place of praise, because that's what God wants. God wants to praise. And, David in his writing, this is kind of futuristic kind of message that David, it's a song that David wrote this song, and he kind of was a kind of prophetic in a sense of speaking, because he was trying to, because this song is kind of a kingdom song. Okay. I don't know if you understood that, you know, it's kind of a kingdom song, because this song is kind of looking forward into the future, into the millennium kingdom. And that's what it's kind of, but we also can, and we also can apply to us today, and we can learn, we can learn some things from this song as to how to worship, okay? But I just want to bring that to our attention. But I'm not here to try to tell anybody how to worship, but I just thought this was a thing on my heart, and I thought that'd be a good thing to bring here. And not only with, I hope it will bless you, but I hope it will also bless me, or it bless me to be able to. So this is something that we, church body, we do every Sunday after our altar time. And this is what we do. So I've just been thinking about this, and I had this on the back burner for many, many years. And so been, I think about 3 or 4 years down the way, I've been had this on. And so I began to just, thinking about what can I do, you know, to make sure, because that's what we want. God wants us to worship, right? That's what he wants to worship. That's what he wants. And so my topic here, a call and a reason to celebrate. What it's all about is, and when we think about this particular passage of scripture here today, that we find that there are in our walk of life there are many occasions, right, where we come together as families, okay. Each individual can come together, family, and we come together to do some, to celebrate sometime that might be what? Birthdays, and somebody might be wedding anniversary, somebody might be the 4th of July, something. It could be any number of things that we come together and we have a tendency to celebrate, which is not a bad thing. It is a good thing when families can come together and celebrate, when the body of Christ come together, and when we can come together and we can celebrate. And I think they would come together perhaps every Sunday and to celebrate and to praise God, right? This psalm is more about praise than anything about than we talk about. That's what it's all about. And so we see that, in our walk of life, as we look in this walk of life, we journey through this walk of life, and when we look around our world, we see so less to actually say we can celebrate, because when we look around, we see the world's condition and how everything is just going in a chaotic fashion, and sometimes we cannot even find, sometimes can't even find solace as to how to endure in this world, because we look around the crime scene, the murders and all those kinds of things that are taking place in this world. And so our heart become kind of heavy, and sometimes we just cannot really just say celebrate, right? And so that's what this is all about. So we see there, but we have here, David, he's strongly dealt about four different songs, and you can find them in Psalms from start beginning at Psalm 146 and down to 150. The first two to do with it is he's talking about in Psalm 46 is the reign of God. And then the second is the creation, all creation praise him. And the third, the angelic host in the stellar heaven, praise him. Culminate with our lesson for today. If I may draw a word from the Gospel of St. John. So talking about this whole matter, John said you'll say the best to last. You know that statement? You'll say the best to last, and that's what we are looking forward to. I know I'm in this world. I know we have all these kinds of issues going on, but you know, I thank God that God is not going to leave us down here and then not have something better than what we are down here. How would it be to live in this world down here and all the chaos and all the confusion and all the thing that goes on now and then not have something to celebrate? How would heaven be with you, right? If you did not come, if all that you, you get to, to move away from all, I'm not saying we're not, I'm not in a hurry, okay? But I'm just saying that if heaven gonna be just like it is on earth, then why should I have a reason to celebrate? What should I praise him? But I'm glad that the God that I serve and that I worship, that he has greater things for us as a body of believers, right? Do you believe that? Has greater things. So one day when all this has been put on his feet, then that's gonna be a time when we can just celebrate. We can say, hallelujah! And praise God, right? What kind of great day would that be when we can just put all this stuff behind us and just be in this glorious place where God said, come on and let's have a good time. Let's enjoy the Lord. Oh, well, I'll tell you. But that's what I was just thinking about here. And you say the best of that. It is the blessed kingdom scripture pointing us to a time when God put all things on his feet. That's what David said. David started off with saying some in Psalm 1, and then he said, now I'm going to culminate with this. I'm going to bring this. And so this is kind of a prophetic psalm. And what is then, so we think about this. We think about all that we're going to be enjoying. Then we can say, what a day. Have you heard that? Of rejoicing, what? This will be. I don't want you to hurry to the kingdom, okay? I don't want you to hurry to the kingdom. but I want you to be able to know how that we're gonna praise God. It's gonna be a greater praise than we have ever had in our whole lives. I know we sing songs down here, we enjoy and praise. I enjoyed the songs and all of us around praises this morning. Yeah. And I thought about it. That was one of them. We talk about what it is to worship. What is to worship? You know, to worship. What is to worship? We come together as a body of believers on every Sunday, come together to worship. But I believe that there is a greater thing that we can do. I think our worship begins in our own, what? Homes, right? That's why our greatest way. So when we come together, then that brings the family together and the family together can come together. But I think it starts at what? Home. Individually. Do you have a special place where that you can come and you can stop early in the morning and you just bow down and begin to worship God, where you can begin to read his word and bow down and begin to talk to him and begin to fellowship with him and tell him all your cares, all your concerns. Do you have a special place? It is important that we have a special place where just you and God can commune together. You can talk to him. And I sometimes I would say, and when you talk to him, don't hurry to get up, okay? Wait until you kind of get some that he can kind of have a conversation with us, okay? And that's what it's all about. But take some time, and it begins with the individuals, in our own person, and have a little place where you go that just you and the Lord can kind of get away. You don't have to leave your home, but just kind of get away. Have you ever gotten away and God has so engulfed you with your spirit until you just you and the Lord, it's just having a praise time, a glorious time in the Lord. Just nobody but you and the Lord. What a place in which, I've consulted several commentaries and things like they're trying to find a definitive definition for worship. The most of them was pretty vague. None of them seemed to have any kind of thing that kind of touched my heart, you know. But then I went and I was starting reading something about J. Vernon McGee, And I began to read him, and he said this. He said this, if I may quote him. He said, "Worship is the divine intoxication." You ever thought about that? But you know what intoxication is? Have you ever tried intoxication? Everybody know that you've been someplace, right? Amen. But that's what he said. It's the divine intoxication. That everybody should know that you have been intoxicated with worship and praises to God, you know? And that's what I thought. That was very, very, very good. And so he said, I also believe that worship is a matter of the heart towards God. How do you approach God? What does God mean to you? What does God mean to me? What does he mean? What's the importance between us and God? I believe the most simple can be found according to Jesus in the gospel, according to St. John 4:23. He said that they that worship me must worship me how? In spirit. And in truth, this lady, she worshiped in the mountains. But God said, no. So after a while, I said, the place for you gonna be worshiping, it's in Jerusalem. And said, when you worship in Jerusalem, but you're gonna have to worship me in spirit. See, it's not about the place. It's not about the place. It's about the person. See? Sometimes we can kind of get trapped in the place. And we miss the person. Who is Jesus Christ? And so that's what he's trying to get us to understand. Jerusalem is going to be a place where you're going to, but more than anything, you're going to have to worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, the heart towards God. We must prostrate. Have you ever prostrate yourself? Down, have you fallen down before the Lord? And just prostrate yourself and just spread yourself out before the Lord? Because you want to glorify Him and you also want Him to actually to be able to bless us. So sometimes it's just good. Just to fall down and just to prostrate yourself. I'm not saying you cannot prostrate yourself. I'm not really trying to change your way that you worship. I'm not getting at that. But sometimes we just need to kind of look at things just a little bit different. And sometimes it's important that God just fall down before and just give reverence to Him. And I saw that. And he gives us these words. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I thought about that. In the beauty of holiness. What do you mean? In the beauty of holiness. It's a matter of how we worship. It's a matter of who we worship. And what comes out of us, you know? We got a lot of people that can put on a good pretense, but that's not what it's all about. He said, I want you to, you know what do we talk about beauty? What are you talking about? And that's what God wants us to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And that's what He's trying to get us. And you know, and you can find that in 1 Chronicles 6:29c. Saints of God, He must be the object. God must be the object of our focus, right? Even Paul said this in Colossians. He said, set your affection, what? On things above and not on things upon this earth. So sometimes we can get so trapped in this mundane show down here, and that we miss our focus kind of parallels. You know? But our focus should be vertical. And that's what Paul says, set your affection beyond these things that are on this earth, because these things are going to pass away. But heaven and earth is not going to pass away. But we must be able to vertical our focus. And when we do that, God can be praised and God can be honored. And that's what we're talking about here. And he must be the object of our focus. He, and as I say, we must set our affection up above these things down here. These, nothing wrong with things down here. I don't want to get the idea that we're going to denounce everything that's down here. I don't want to get the idea of that. But our main focus should be heavenward. And that's what he's trying to get to understand here. Sometimes we, I said, so connected to things around us that we cannot look vertically. In other words, we can become tied to this world system. This world system is not so much designed for us as Christians. It is designed for the world system. The scripture tells us we are in the world, but we are what? Not of the world. We live here, but we should not be in the, we should not be of the world, right? That's what God is saying. Yes, we must live here. This is our domain. But we should not be caught up in this old world system. Sometimes we have to give a degree of divorcement. We have to divorce this whole system down here and give this world a written divorcement. So that we can have a better, a more focused relationship with God, right? And we can worship Him freely. Then Paul is saying that what I want you to do, I want you to change your focus. I want you to lift your eyes and have a lofty perspective. David said this. He said that I will lift my eyes unto the hill, for where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So sometimes we may find ourselves in a place of a valley setting, but then does not define us. The valley does not define us. It's where our focus is. David knew where to focus, and that's what we as Christians need to do. We need to know where to focus and to whom to focus, put our focus upon, right? That's all it's all about. And so when you do that, then God is revered. And he's glorified. He's glorified in what we do. So we see that in that. Who can worship? See, everybody around here, we got all these kind of cultists and people like that, and they think that they can worship, right? They got that form of worship, but they think that they can worship. But it's whom they are worshiping. And so the psalmist here said in verse 6, listen what he said. He said, let everything, what? Everything that breathes the breath of life, that has breath, let him or her, what, do what? Praise the Lord. Listen what it said. Everybody that have praise, that's what we want. God wants us to be able to praise him. And he wants everything that breathe to be able to praise him. Not putting anybody down. Sometimes our praise are so shallow. And sometimes they're so empty. And sometimes they're without substance. There's some words that we say sometimes. I'm not putting anybody here down. Anybody, that's not what I'm getting at. But I just was thinking about this. But everything that has been, the unrepentant soul may read the word of God, may read it, but there is, and they may strive to make it inclusive, but there God has designated a group of people that he has designed and desired to worship him, right? And they are the one known as the pure in heart. Do we have some pure in hearts in this place today? Then God have designed us to worship him. He didn't say for the world to worship him, but he would design them to worship him. But because they have no repentant spirit, no repentant heart, they cannot worship. Only pure in heart can worship God. There are those who have their name on church rolls and may function in the capacity and celebrate with the saints. But there's no worship. They're empty. Paul says this, they are sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm not talking about the Christian. The Christian have somebody they worship and they know how to win. They praise God. They may do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:3. Paul said they may give their bodies to be burned, but have not charity, have not love. See, people can do all the things, all the external things, but there's nothing that's coming, don't take place on the inside. And that's what we're talking about here. And God said to Israel, as well as to us, that God is what? A jealous God. He don't want anybody to have it, to take his place and be, he want us, he's jealous. He want us to be a people that will worship him and to praise him. He want our total commitment. He don't want to share it with anybody else. So let us know, he want our total allegiance, and that's what God wants us to do. And I praise God that if we can get to that place, you know, I believe that if we could get to that place, not in a corporate way, but even in our personal life, that heaven will rejoice. You do that? That even the angel in heaven will rejoice. The fact that we have gotten it right and that our focus have changed and our focus is one that up. And I thank God for that. Then we're going to talk about why worship. Why worship? We have touched on the calls to worship, to celebrate. What is worship? Who can worship? Now we strive to focus on worship. Why worship? You know, I thought about that and I tried to find something, someplace in the Word of God, and there are many in the Word of God, but this one came to my mind. And it says in the very first verse of Genesis, in the beginning God. You thought about that? Now how can we worship except we start at what? At the beginning. If we can't get that part right, then we might as well just toss the rest of the Word of God out the door or build you a good bonfire so you can get warm. That's where it begins at. In the beginning, God. If we can just focus upon in the beginning, God. It said that in the beginning, God. That's what our focus is upon. Because he created everything. He created us to worship him. He created us to praise him. He created us to rejoice in him. He created us. And that's what God wants. God wants us to be able to worship him. I believe, as I said, that because of who he is, of course of who he is, then we can have our focus set upon him. Having withstood the test of time, God has always stood the test of time. The critics and the skeptics, we can take solace in the fact that we have a God who spoke all things into existence. We can say with the words of David, The Lord has done great things for us. We're all. Have God done something great for you? Since you've been a Christian, has God done great things for you? If the world would come to you and ask you, what is it about you? What is it about you? And what is it about me that God has done? What is that you could tell the world about? Can you say that you've done great things for me? And I just thought about that. The Lord has done great, and you can find that in Psalm 126 and 3. There is a testimony in God's house. If there is, then we should shout the word of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. You know, I'm not saying that we have to, every time that we move, and every time that we breathe, every time that we do something, that we have to be in this glorified or praising them. I'm not getting at that. But our heart and our mind, our spirit should be one that is focused on the one who created the heavens and the earth. And we should be able to say, praise him. That's what God wants us. God wants us to be a people that praises him. You know? Now, how you do it and how I do it may be different how you do it, but that's not the issue. The issue is that our focus is the most important thing, and to whom it's focused upon. Not upon the what's of this life, because the what's of this life are going to go out of existence one of these days, right? But the whom we focus upon. He is the God. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth. And he's going to stand. And he's not going to go out of existence. And we can praise him. We can sing songs of praises. Like we were singing this morning, songs of praises. And God enjoy. And God inhabits the praises of his saints. He enjoys, gets the joys out when those can praise him. And that's, I was meditating upon that, how that we, sometime we just need to learn, just need to take a time out and just have a place, have a time. As I said, just you and the Lord can meet and just have that little quiet time. You know, sometime I, my wife have her quiet time. She got a place I call her holy corner. I don't invade that, okay? I have my place. But sometimes what I think is that we as Christians, we sleep too much. Sometimes, you know, I will wake up 2 or 3 times a night and I would just lie there. And under my breath, in a meditative mode, I began to praise God. And sometimes, the tears will begin to flow. Sometimes God just want to wake us up sometimes. And he just want to hear from us. Sometimes God just want to hear from his people. He don't want to hear from the world if it's not a confession of faith, but he just want to hear. Do you revere me? Or do you want to worship me? Sometimes we just kind of, and not on that, but you can worship even while you're driving along. Have you ever worshiped while you're driving along? Have your eyes have become filled with tears as you were driving along? When you think about the goodness of the Lord, when you think about the love of God, when you think about the mercy of God, when you think about the joy of God, when you think about the peace of God, sometimes your eyes and your heart just wells up. that you can't control yourself. I don't know. I've been there. Because he's been good to me. Has he been good to you, saints? Has he been good to you? Oh, God. I know we cannot begin to count the ways that God has blessed us. They're too numerous to begin to enumerate. Oh, hallelujah. If then we should shout the words of David, as I said that already, then David says this. He said, oh, magnify. Listen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Saints of God, when we come together as a body, we should magnify the Lord. Now, why would you want to magnify the Lord in this place, and not on this. It is because that somebody may be on a way to accept Jesus Christ, and they need somebody to just praise and just magnify the Lord, and just to let them know that God can save them, and just magnify. Lift him up, exalt him. As much as you know how to exalt him, I have not learned totally how to praise him. Okay, I'm sure that you have not learned how to praise. I'm sure that you have not learned how to make. I'm sure that we have not, because we are in a practicing mode down here. We are learning. But oh, my brothers and my sisters, when everything had been consummated, when everything had been put under Jesus, then somewhere in the heavenly kingdom, we are going to know how. We're going to know how to do it, and we're going to know how to do it at its best. Oh. But while we're here, just get a little more practice in. Let's get a little more practice in. Oh. Yes. The heart you shout. In my conclusion, I know we worship God here with our songs and with our praises. I know that. But they pale in comparison to the angels and to the saints that are all read around God's throne. Oh, the angels have gotten it down to a science. The 420 elders have gotten it down to a science. And when we get there, then we're going to get it down to a science. And what a day of rejoicing there would be when all the troubles, when all the heartache, when all the pain, when all the death and to all the dying and all the sickness and all the things have been gone out of existence. Then we can begin to praise him, and we can know that we are in the presence of a holy God, and everything has been taken care of. Yes, I know that we have in our church bodies skilled musicians who can teach choirs and to blend their voices together, and are skilled in moving their fingers effortless across the keyboard. And then the choir directed stand to lead them in songs. That's good. But when the heaven director takes his position in front of the heavenly choir, every eye going to focus on him. And all ears going to be attentive. And hearts are in tune. And then the heaven director will raise his baton. And begin to wave it. And heaven, and all heaven will join in to give God the highest praise. They begin to sing the praise of the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harps. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instrument and organ. Praise him with the... Praise him up in the loud cymbal. Praise him up in the high sound of the cymbal. Then we can all hear him say, praise ye the Lord. Let everything, all that has breath, oh, praise ye the Lord. What a day. What a day. With everybody, all the pianos over there, I know you can move your fingers. Effortless across the keyboard. Because you've been well trained there. But I'm telling you, when that orchestra, when the heaven and orchestra get together, and when the great director steps out with his baton and begin to say, all eyes, all ears, going to be in tune, even those that are going on before us. And when we get there, we're going to join in the heavenly choir. And we're going to be a part. Maybe you can't sing down here. Maybe your voice don't sound too good down here. Maybe somebody don't even want you in the choir. Stand. Maybe somebody don't want you. But I tell you, when we get to the heavenly choir, get together. Everything gonna sound all right because we're gonna be in tune because we have a heavenly director. His name is Jesus. Oh, I tell you. Oh, praise God. What a day. Joyce. Yes. Yes, we move our fingers. You move it. And then we sing a call to celebrate and offer the sacrifice of praise. I was just reading a few days ago, and I was song, when all is going to be consummated, then we're going to be able to and take the word of C.H. Cobbs. We can sing the song, oh, how I got over. My soul look back and wonder how I got. I don't know how I got over, but I know that my soul gonna be able to look back and wonder how I got over. I got over. My Lord. And my soul. My soul, I got my soul, look back and wonder, in the time while we're waiting for the great day of celebration, you and I can bow before him, bow before the king, and bring our soul into harmony of the heavenly, because we are created to worship him. We are created to worship him. Yes, we might be practicing down here. But on that great day, we're there with the saints of God, gather around the throne of God, and everything going to be put on God's feet. Oh, what a great day. That would be. Oh, we can shout and sing the victory. Oh, I tell you. I don't know about you. I'm not quite ready to go there yet, but I'm still thinking about what I'm gonna act when I get over there. I may not act the way down here like I should act, but when I get in the presence of my God, oh, He had everything all fixed up and all lined up, and I'm gonna know how to praise Him. I'm gonna know how to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Say to God, take joy. First Baptist, take joy. Take joy. And knowing that all your labor down here is not in vain. It's not in vain. We may struggle down here, but it's not in vain. It's not in vain because God has a plan that laid out in heaven for those who put their trust in Him. And one day, it's going to be a day that we can celebrate. We can celebrate. We think that we celebrate on Mother's Day. We think that we celebrate on Father's Day. We think that we celebrate on Christmas. But oh, when we, on that day, it's going to be a day that far exceeds the days that we celebrate. And it's going to be joy. Joy. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace. Oh, hallelujah. Can you just say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a day.